Thank you for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. You want to help support the show? Tell your friends. Get the word out. Facebook, Twitter, smoke signals. Maybe even take out a Craigslist personal. Whatever you got to do.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you on this fine day, sir?
I'm so hot.
You are. You are indeed.
Oh, I'm so hot. That was a pretty close approximation.
I know. You pretty much nailed it. We're having a heat streak.
Having a heat stroke.
Come on now. The people in the rest of the world like to look at us here in Southern California and think everything is all sunshine and roses. But sometimes, much like Icarus, we travel too close to the sun. Yeah.
The sunshine kills the roses.
And our beautiful tan skin young ladies are in trouble. They could get sunburned. They could be the victims of premature aging.
They will wrinkle.
Yeah. So with every great thing, there is also burdens that come with it.
Absolutely.
And we've had 100-degree weather. Let's talk about this. Can't be just here that I have learned through my various adventures with the PTA. One of them I'll share about momentarily. The fact that kids are not allowed to go outside and play now.
Yeah.
This can't be a good thing. Right? This can't be a good idea. We can't start having when they're young. You know what I mean?
Right.
Youth is when you're supposed to be at your most resilient.
Right.
And yet we have decided that we are going to take all of our young children and make them into 85-year-old Jewish women. Which, by the way, I said to my son's new first grade teacher, and she said, "Hey, I'm a Jewish woman." I said, "But you're not 85. Close safe. That was very close.
Yes.
By the way, Crystal, that, it doesn't get less Jewish other than, I don't know, Helmut. But then Crystal, how you got to give me a heads up there.
Yeah. She's not showing.
She has
signs.
The curly hair, but that's about all that she has. Curly blonde, though. See? But anyway, my point is.
She's not Jewish.
She is. And because she's talking with another teacher about Yom Kippur at back to school night.
Oh, okay.
So I'm guessing either that or she's got a very strong passion for the Jewish faith, even though she's not a celebrator. But this thing where the kids now at the school, they don't go outside for lunch when it's hot.
Yeah.
They go get their lunch, eat their lunch, and then are shuffled into an auditorium to watch Finding Nemo for 15 minutes. What the hell is going on?
They're never
going
to find Nemo that way.
No way. No. Well, this is what I love. This is also what this is going to flow into what I wanted to talk about, the experience I had. They sent an email out. The principal, I called her the director. Hello! I'm used to walking the boards, Paco. The principal was talking about when it rains this fall, how she wants to have adults, like parents, come in and help the yard duties so the teachers can get a break. All the kids hang out in their own classrooms, and then she wants people to walk the halls to kind of provide supervision.
Right. They don't get to go out in the rain either.
No, they do not get wet either. And so then all of a sudden now it's 100 degrees here.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. I know there are people in Arizona that listen that are going, oh, yeah, well, fuck you.
right.
I'd like to see. I wonder if in Arizona, who is it? Jessica's from Arizona. Let me know, Jessica, if kids are not allowed to go outside when it's there, when it's hot there either. Because I feel like, what if it is just Southern California? We are now the largest exporter and probably importer of pussies in the world. That is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
See, Jessica already said exactly F you. So I'm assuming that when it's 148,000 degrees on the buttes of Phoenix and we just cross over 102, we're pushing 102, and that's when it gets really hot in the valley. For about 3 to 4 days in the summertime.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, oh, everybody, all hands on deck. Everybody duck and cover.
Right.
The Cubans are back. So.
It's possible, just to shit on your point for a minute, that maybe what they have learned is that when they bring back wilted children out of the heat, that they don't get as much good out of them. They may be doing it for their own learning purposes.
I like where your head's at, but again, that's all it's doing is furthering the pussification. Right. It's enabling. You see, if you're wilting because you were outside playing and having a good time and some sun, I want you to get smacked in the head with a ruler and said, get it together, asshole. It's time to learn some math.
Here, if they're going to keep them inside, they should sprinkle them with peanut dust.
Okay.
So at least there's some danger still going on.
Strengthening. Yeah, yes. I like it. I like danger. I like fortification.
Yes.
I like it all. Yes. Now you're picking up what I'm putting down. You're sipping what I'm pouring. Because oh my gosh. Now, and then the PTA was recently asked to provide a cooler that these yard duties can provide ice packs to kids that get too hot while they're on the playground.
Okay.
And the ice pack consists of a moistened, the cheap old, before they turn it into a brawny paper towel,
right,
is the paper towels they put in schools.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's just, you're like, is this Egyptian paper or is it for my hands to dry? I can't.
You can put a fine finish on some wood, get a nice smooth.
Exactly. I feel like it is the precursor. It is what crude oil is to gasoline to a paper towel. Is what this brown thing, I feel like they use a cheese slicer to take it off of a log and then roll it up somehow. So they have, it's a piece of papyrus that they are sticking in a freezer. They moisten the papyrus, stick the papyrus into a sandwich bag, and then stick that in the freezer. Now, one could argue that they could save trees by just slightly filling a plastic bag with water and make a real fucking ice pack.
Yes.
But I don't know. I'm an idiot and a
father. They can't reuse those? They need money for that? Or?
Well, no. What it is that the kids are coming in saying that they're hot and wanting to go see the nurse. And so to alleviate the nurse getting overwhelmed with kids that are not actually experiencing heat stroke, they want to have a cooler available to dispense ice packs to all the kids. Now, they're not going to be able to carry 700 ice packs. So there's only going to be 32 of the strongest pussies will only get the ice packs.
Right.
You see, the cream of pussification will rise to the top of pussiness, and they will get the papyrus ice pack, much like their Egyptian fathers and forefathers before them had received.
Oh, my God.
And here's the thing. Somebody said at the PTA meeting, is like, they go, am I alone? And maybe, I'm sure this has already been said, but maybe we could just work on something to toughen our kids up a little, like... And I said, yeah. I said, how about this? How about we get an ice pack that you could slap upside their head and say, quit being a dumbass. No, I said that about another thing.
I'm
remembering because I'm like, I don't feel like I would want – I would say it, but I would not say it in front of other parents.
About, you know, that. What
I mean? About, I would not call kids dumbass in front of other parents.
Right.
But I did say the word dumbass at a PTA meeting where there was a child that maybe was 2 and another one that was like 7. And the scornful looks that I received from, this poor chick, she's the parliamentarian of PTA.
What does that mean?
I think it's a sergeant at arms. Like, she has to make sure we're abiding by the bylaws and order is kept or something like that. And they couldn't have found a bitchier face woman to do it. Holy balls. And she just gave me a look. She's like, hello, there are children present. And I was like, really? Dumbass is now not okay to say in front of a child? Like, you can't even be like, don't be like that guy over there. I was going to say asshole, but clearly that's not something they say to this child.
No.
I wish so much that little girl would have like, fuck off, bitch. You know what I mean? Then it would have been like, okay.
They would have blamed you for that.
Exactly. He said dumbass, and now all of this language has been added to her vernacular.
Curse. Yeah. That's like getting a virus.
Yeah. So, the heat. The heat is now a thing. Now they have the fun run, is what they call it. They used to call it a jogathon when I was a child.
Right.
And there was questions at the PTA meeting as to whether or not the children will be running at the fun run. And it's called the super fun run. And then she said, the lady was very funny, I thought. She goes, it will be super. It will be fun. It will not so much be running. It will be a super fun popsicle time. So what's going to happen is they have a track and they're going to let the kids walk if they want.
Of course.
Or they can run. If they're sprinting, I'm not going to tackle them. But they could go nuts, right? So they're going to go come back and then they'll be given a popsicle at the end. And this is to raise money for the school supplies that we eventually have to supply ourselves.
Right,
anyway.
Right.
So so that's what's happening right now as we speak.
Oh, they're doing it now.
My son's already done it. A nice mom who I've now made friends with has sent me a photo. She goes, he was running like a champ once, and then he stopped. But this is the same kid. I feel like I screwed him. This is the same kid who he did not, because you get pledged per lap.
Yeah.
He didn't get pledged. I just donated the money. I just said, here's the money. And so he ran 21 laps, more than anybody else in his class.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was all pointless, other than for his own fun and amusement.
Right.
And did he get any kind of bonus or anything? No. So what did he do this time? He ran one, and then he was done and went and got his popsicle and said, God damn it, I'm an American.
That's
this
a good
is
lesson.
How it's going to be.
He's
right?
been taught a very good lesson.
Let those other assholes storm the beaches of Normandy and live their life.
Right.
I'm going to live the life that I was meant to have, you know, reaping the fruit of their labor.
Right, right. He'll be back nailing their women.
Yes, their granddaughters. Great-great-granddaughters. He'll be plowing those fields if you're picking up what I'm putting down. So, yeah, the heat, that was the other thing. So because of the heat, I had to go to the auditorium so I could help supervise.
Oh, at this, like, 15-minute of
yes.
15 minutes of Nemo?
And what happened was they set out, they go, hey, we're going to need help, and it's because they were doing pictures in the auditorium. They didn't think the photographer would be done in time for lunch, so they wanted us to roam the halls, and it just keeps getting worse. I made a joke, some of you might remember if you've been listening for over a year at least, that I made a joke with one of the other teachers about how they had like a store that the kids could spend their Santa bucks or some shit, and I compared it to a commissary at a prison.
Right.
And I'm not the first guy to point out this comparison, but I really feel like it's getting stronger and stronger, this comparison between school and prison.
Yes.
Like the way that things function there. That
right.
If they would allow Pogs and Pokemon cards to come back, those would be the equivalent of cigarettes.
Right.
It has its own currency
yep.
at school.
Yep.
I don't
I
know what it is quite yet. I'm sure we'll figure it out eventually. But they said, we need you to come and walk up and down the hallways. And then the photographer got out. So I went there and I said, oh, so you don't need me? Am I getting waved off? And like she felt a disturbance in the force, the principal comes out and says, no, you can go help out. And so I was like,
right.
All right. Just what I fucking need.
Yeah.
I need to sit there and watch 15-minute intervals of Finding Nemo. Like, so many things are wrong with this. Number one, I am not the guy you need in there. I'm not that guy because I'm the guy who's going to see everything wrong. I don't know if it makes me a good person or a shitty person that I'm like, there's lots going on that we should change probably.
Yeah,
so here's
right.
Let's just go step one. So you mean to tell me that they have a 15-minute moment where they sit there, and our solution to that is not to find 15-minute Merry Melodies cartoons
right.
where you can have an enjoyable slight, you know, innuendo towards racism
sure.
or abuse towards animals or violence.
Yeah.
Instead, we're only going to let them see the scary part of Finding Nemo and then send them on their way to the rest of their learning
yes.
experience.
When they go back the next day, do they get the next 15 minutes? Or
no,
they watch
no,
the first...
that's what I'm saying. It's so much like a prison. You have a Middle Eastern, Eastern European elderly woman,
uh-huh.
barely. She's talking about. This is what I love. I don't know if she's Eastern. Her accent says Eastern European,
uh-huh.
but she says cockroach like, like a Latino,
yeah,
like a Hispanic, like she. You know what I mean? Latin
Latina,
heritage,
yes.
yeah, Latina. At one point, then she changed it. Her accent is fluid, like she's doing voices for Amazon at the end
right.
of a podcast. Like it just ebbs and flows in and out of everywhere.
You should get her in here.
She says, one time she said, cocaraches. I'm like, okay, so you're getting closer,
right.
but you're dyslexic with your vowel sounds. And then there's another lady.
No, that's when they've got a nice chocolate covering on them. Cocaraches.
Cocaraches. This is what I love too about this school. There's another. Nobody is from California and American. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, so you've got Cocaraches lady.
Yeah.
Then you've got Boston lady who is yelling at the kids,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, and they're in these. They have to wear these bright fluorescent green vests.
Right.
Everything is about establishing power.
Right.
Everything, they have radios, they're talking to each other,
mm-hmm.
there was and the radios, everybody is within a 5-foot proximity of each other, so it just becomes, the radios are just repeaters for the
right.
sound, like
right.
I feel like it's more of a domino of sound that comes from the office or the point of origin,
yes.
and then I could hear, they're like, Emmett Groshen, is Emmett Groshen there? And then, like, literally, the lady goes, I've got Emmett right here, yeah, no, I've got eyes on him, is what she said. Like she works for fucking SWAT or she's a sniper
right.
in some goat hut in Afghanistan. And she goes, I've got eyes on Emmett. Well, Emmett is supposed to be, like, she says a language that is probably lots of acronyms because now there's military, involved in this.
Well, he was AWOL.
Right. So everybody has to come into the air-conditioned auditorium to watch Finding Nemo, right?
Sure.
And not Emmett. Evidently, he did something wrong. You got to get benched. And then she says, you're going outside.
Oh, my God.
So, like, this kid, you know. And it reminds me of, like, those prisons you see on 60 Minutes where it's like, there are no walls. Like, you know what I mean? Scott Van Pelt or whatever said, there are no walls in this prison. All there is desert sun and a piece of cotton fabric as a tent. Why do these prisoners never leave? Because they can't. If they tried, they'd die. Like, it's right. That kind of thing where it's like, he's in the shoe for anybody who watches Orange is the New Black. He's in solitary, but they call it benched. You've been benched, son. I can't wait for a new pussy to come in and say, well, benching is a negative stereotype with the sports analogy, and you're going to make him feel sorry for himself, and so you can't say that to him anymore.
Right.
He gets benched. So he goes outside.
Yes.
Only to come back 5 minutes later, now holding a red slip of some kind. The yard purse, I call them yard duties, but I think that's like saying stewardess.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh,
that's
what I'd always heard them call.
Right. I don't
know. That and bitch. Dumb bitch. Sometimes if my kids were really
There's
mad.
One cool one, but of course she is not the one that was in the auditorium this day. There's one. She's also the vice president of the PTA. I'm a big fan of her.
Okay.
I think she gets her job and she likes it. The other one, like at one point, the Boston lady was like, she goes, man, they make us work, earn every penny of that minimum wage. Like, why are you telling me how much you weigh? How do you think this is going to go? Like, let me explain what you have done to show why you deserve more than minimum wage, okay?
Right.
When I arrived, they turned on the movie. Now, she struggled operating a DVD player.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that this woman is an idiot, okay? I don't really think that she is. I think that everywhere else, she's a very intelligent person. But I just think we've all seen these people who just get lazy and in a rut and they just don't care, okay?
Yeah.
So while Coco Roach's lady is giving her speech, which, by the way, she gives almost as much as a TSA person telling you about what you have to take off before you go in there. Imagine what their day is like. She's doing
this. We've been doing this for 10 years, people.
Exactly. It's so crazy. She's like, she goes, okay, I don't want anybody to be leaving your food here, because if you leave your food here, I look at the floor after you leave and I will know that it was the first grade. I will know that it was here. And if you leave the food here, the cockroaches, they will come and they like your food, but we do not like them, right? So please, please do not be leaving your food in the theater. It is not time to eat. You were supposed to have eaten outside. So for here, it is just sitting quietly and watching, right? Meanwhile, the whole speech of that other lady is putting on, because they're prescription, putting on her sunglasses in an already dimly lit room so she can operate the DVD player.
Right, which disappears when she puts her sunglasses on.
It's black.
On.
It's fucking black with silver chrome buttons. And so she's sitting there like going blah, 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 like she's trying to figure it out, you know, and all this stuff. And then it finally comes on. And then she goes, this is what I love too. Then she says, there's no sound. Okay? Do you know why there's no sound? Because we tell you every day not to run by here, which is in front of the projector where all the cables go, okay? But somebody ran through here and tripped it. Now we don't have sound. Like, she's scolding the kids that weren't even here.
Right, right.
Like, your anger is ill-placed, lady. Okay? And here's what's great. This is the first grade class, so I see Jacob, my son, and his friends, and they come and blah, blah, blah. And they're being very polite, and they come and sit down. But meanwhile, they're just kind of walking, as first graders do, but these women are like, come here! Come on! Get in here! And I'm just so shocked that there's no rings on these women's fingers, because it sounds like, based on the tone of voice, that they have that wife shit nailed down pat.
Right.
They treat everybody like they're husband.
All over it.
So they're yelling at kids that are completely docile and fine, right?
Right.
So the 15 minutes happen. They don't pay attention to the clock or anything. A swarm of children come into the room in the pitch black auditorium.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I forgot one thing. So they're just going to play the movie with no sound.
With no sound.
They're just going to let the kid, and then,
right.
And
well, how's he going to find the wire in the dark?
I don't know.
I don't
know. I said, do you want me to try to fix it? And this is what she said. I'm not kidding. She goes, if you want to try, like it's Armageddon.
Right.
I'm just the guy who worked on an oil well rig in southern Texas. And now I'm the guy who has to fly a space shuttle and land it on an asteroid. You know what I mean? Like, that's some highfalutin stuff over there, Tex.
It's your funeral.
Go knock it out.
Yeah.
Don't shock yourself. And so I go over there and I go, okay. And I said, well, and then first thing I do is I put my ear to the speaker to see if I was expecting to see if there was a hum or if the speakers were getting anything. You could hear the sound. It was just turned.
Oh,
so
my
I
God.
Said,
one of those kids ran by and the force of their rushing past it turned the volume down.
That or one of them has mastered the powers of the force. And just is not a fan of Pixar.
Yeah.
He's like, he finds it pedestrian for his cinematic taste.
He's
an offshoot of one Paco Lancini, and he wants to see somebody incomparable, and I can't pull the guy in Whiplash, the guy who also does the farmer's insurance commercials
and is
the
now
voice
of
the yellow peanut M&M, the incomparable. Yes, of course you can. He's incomparable. He doesn't need to have his name remembered.
No. All I can think of is Sir John Gielgud, and that's not who you're talking about.
It should be, sir. I wish that would be the character he played in his next movie. Or maybe that's the name of the peanut M&M in my mind. But
I think it should be.
So I go up, and I said, well, it's just turned down. Where do you know where the volume is controlled? They go, oh, back there somewhere. And, like, point to the auditorium. Again, like, I'm going to have to go through a hedge maze and fight a minotaur in the middle. So I go there, right? There's a mixer with a labeler that says movies. It says movies right next to two fader things. And so I turn those up, and then the master is turned almost all the way down. So I turn that up. All of a sudden, it is like the greatest quality of sound coming into that auditorium.
Right.
And the kids cheer. They're like, yeah!
That's
great. This is great. And so then she gets on the horn and spreads it through the radio dominoes. A repeater's like, we got a dad in here, Denise, and he fixed the sound. So we're all good here now. Everything is good here. Situation normal. How are you? What the hell are you doing, lady? So that's when so now we're at kids coming in, pitch black room.
Before you get there, I was really tempted that you shut the whole thing down and make her fucking apologize to the kids for yelling at them and saying it was their fault there was no sound when clearly she is ineffective.
Yes.
And less than worth.
I agree wholeheartedly with you, but I like to lean on yelling.
I know you do.
You know what I mean? I would rather rather than fucking the other principal who would read nothing but hero poems and blow sunshine up their ass. You know what I mean? I would much rather have a fucking, angry chick from the East Coast, the tough streets of Boston.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like to an audience full of kids going, well, it wasn't me.
Yeah, exactly. I would much rather have them like be afraid of the blonde, over tan chick and the Eastern European Mexican.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'd rather have that. I feel like that builds character, gives them stories.
Okay.
Than have say, I'm sure none of you intended to mess up the sound. But, sometimes even our best intentions don't work out. Right?
I just mean that she needs to take ownership of her own mediocrity.
If she did, she probably wouldn't be making minimum wage working 2.5 hours a day at a school.
Right. And earning every penny of it by yelling at your kids for nothing.
Well, it gets better. Well. She really elevates her game when the new kids come in the dark.
She does.
Because she's sitting there like they're
yelling.
And there's
a flight of stairs right at that door.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it comes down into a ramp. They're coming down into a steep slope.
Yeah.
Wooden chairs from 1845. I think they took these chairs from whatever theater Lincoln was assassinated in.
The Ford Theater.
And then they moved them to Burbank for historical accuracy.
Yeah.
And so they're coming down, and it's pitch black, and there's Nemo's happening, and it's loud as shit. I asked them both. I go, you want me to turn to them? They're like, no, this is great. Because they're thinking the louder it is, the less likely the kids are to talk because they couldn't hear each other if they wanted to.
Right.
So there's...
And like a beacon, it's drawing the other students to it.
Well, and they're staring at the screen, too, not paying attention to where they're stepping. And so then, they go, wait, whoa! They're trying to yell over the movie that's going on, right?
Right.
And I'm just kind of like, I don't know what, I don't want to overstep my bounds, but I feel this kind of sounds sexist, but I feel like I'm kind of a dude, so I could have just gone, hey! Like that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But they have the higher pitch, so they're like, hey, no, hey! But the kids can't hear them over fucking Dory or whatever. So then what they do is they take this very echo-prone auditorium with vinyl floors and flat plaster walls and start blowing a fucking referee whistle.
Oh, my God.
And all the kids just cover their ears but also don't stop talking either. Like,
right.
And these kids, the second graders...
with their ears covered, they can't hear the instruction anyway.
These second graders are fucking animals compared to the first graders. Like, they're just...
Right.
Like, all the first graders came in so well behaved, and these kids are bananas, man. Just monkey children. Like, howler monkeys have entered a room with more decorum than these fucking kids did. And I'm just, like, watching all this. She keeps blowing the whistle, and then there's a teacher from the first grade who comes in to pick up her class after she's had her lunch, and she sees this pandemonium happening in the darkness, and she reaches next to the doorway and just turns all the lights on, which stuns the kids, like a flash on a camera went to a deer. And they all just kind of stop, and then she's still blowing the whistle in their face, you know?
Yes.
And everybody's just like, oh, geez. And so the first grade teachers come to get their kids, and then the yard duties go, first graders, come on, let's go. And the teacher's like, no, 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 everybody, like, we can't, there's at least 100 kids in first grade. You can't send them all at once.
All the doors.
Let's do room by room, like, you know, and it's so weird, man. It's so weird that the teachers have to also teach these adult people that are close to retirement age.
Right, right.
So that happened.
Oh, my God.
So I'm just kind of sitting there going, I'm literally here to help, and there's lots of things that I could be doing that could actually be putting money in my pocket rather than watching Finding Nemo, which I've seen 87,000 times because my child has just arrived in first grade. And I was just like, so I just kind of go, hey, do you want me to show you how to turn the sound up and down? And then she's like, you know what? That would be actually smart. That would be great because then I would know how to do it the next time something goes wrong. I said, all right. So I showed her, it says movies right here. Mm-hmm. This big yellow knob, that's the overall volume.
Yeah.
So she's like, great. Oh, that's pretty easy. So then we leave. And I'm just kind of sitting there and go, okay, I got to head out. Like, I just lied and said I had an appointment.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm not going to fucking sit here in the dark and watch you blow a whistle at kids when you don't need my help.
Right.
Like, this is managed.
Your kid's not in there anymore anyway.
Right.
Out.
I did. That's what I did. I waited for half a second grade's time, and then I bolted. And then I leave, and I have to go sign out. And they said, what was it? Oh, that was the other thing. I did a little bit with them when I came in. I said, I'm supposed to volunteer to watch kids or something. And they go, oh, well, they're going to be in the auditorium. I think we're good is what the reception. And then the principal swoops in and says, but you can go and help or whatever. Right. I said, I go, I'm only willing to. Can I crack some skulls? And that's what I really was hoping to do is crack some young skulls.
Yes.
And they all started laughing because they all deal with children all day. So they like the idea.
Right. And they think you're joking.
Exactly. It's fools. So then the principal goes, yes. And the nice thing about them being in the auditorium as opposed to in their class, they'll be even closer together. So I could get like a twofer going. She's like, oh, my gosh, you could probably do like she's kind of trying to describe Newton's balls where I can like slap one in the head and then it'll go and kick the other one at the end.
Which kid is Newton?
All of them in this situation. And so anyway, so she's like, sure. And I go, OK, well, I go, where do I sign in? And I go, do I need to be deputized or given a badge of some kind? And the receptionist gives me my visitor sticker. That's my badge. And
yeah.
So I came in from the doing my tour of duty. I come back and I tear off my sticker and I said, Captain, I'm here to turn in my badge. I can't keep these streets clean anymore. And I throw the sticker down and realize it's stuck to the table. So I just slowly peel it back outside and it's up their countertop. And I left. And then while I was signing out, they said, they go, were you the dad that fixed the DVD sound? I said, yeah, that was me. And she goes, you better be careful who finds out you know how to do that stuff, because I guess evidently this is what I love about government work.
Yes.
And I don't. Maybe I'm being unfair, but I feel like this is definitely an example of government work. Whereas they go, we don't know how that sound system works.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
The end.
That's it. That's all we gotta. Like, I don't know. I have no idea. And then there's the guy who evidently, I guess, is the AV guy for the school. He goes, every time I set that up, I get it to work. And then I step away, and it don't work no more. I don't know what happens. And I come back, and I can't get it to work.
Was he also from Boston?
Yes. Also from Boston. Maybe he came over with the other chick.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, so I told him, I said, well, I live right on the back. I go, you want to call me if I'm not home, if I'm home and I'm not doing anything? I go, I can come over here if I can get it working or whatever.
Right, right.
And I volunteered myself to the principal. I said, just keep my number handy. It's in the system, I'm sure, blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
She goes, well, if you could actually put together like a color-coded system of some kind, because she goes, I don't know how any of that stuff works. And, you know, and I was like, yeah, but how do you think that's going to go down if I create a color? There is no fail safe for all levels of stupidity. Like, I'm not that good.
Right.
So that was my experience helping out during the heat.
Oh,
and
my
what
God.
Were these are the kind of problems we have here in Southern California.
And if you hadn't been there, they'd have just sat in silence the entire day.
And you know what? I wish I was a better man and that I didn't, because all the kids were super excited that I fixed the sound.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like, you know, my kid gets to be the one who's like, yeah. My dad did this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's looking around.
Yeah.
In my mind, when he leaves, all the kids are carrying him on the shoulders.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, oh, Jacob's dad did it. Oh, Jacob, you're the best. You know,
yeah.
Because of his proximity to me, the
I
new
understand.
Lord and savior of audio in the auditorium.
I'm sure that's what happened.
It's like Mad Max world to them over there in that playground. It's so hot outside.
Right.
Everybody's craving water. They don't have ice packs.
Oh, my God. They're all going to shrivel up out there.
They're going to die is what's easily going to happen. They're all going to just fade away and die. So that is that. You doing all right, Paco? You seem
fine.
You seem tired.
Well, you've exhausted me with that hilarious story.
Don't patronize me.
No, it is also hot for me. I have a rule that I don't go outside. Just across the street, I was like, look, all right, I'm going to go, but it better be quick.
You can phone in if it's safer.
I'm sitting here and I'm phoning it in, so...
It's all right.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe stay in the air-conditioned safety of your own home.
I'm saying. No, it's nice to get away from the dogs for a little bit. I'm just a doorman. Because now you can't just leave it open, because then the house will be 1,000 degrees.
Yeah.
So I'm going to open it and close it every
time. Every
time
they have to go.
Yeah.
That dog, by the way, this new dog that hates your wife, I think maybe poops once every 4 days. I'm not sure what's going on, but I love it. I love everything about it. 10 months old, perfectly housebroken.
That's amazing.
I can't believe the luck that my son is having with his dog.
I wanted to tell you, I did go online to look around a little bit. And as near as I can tell, I don't mean to start you up again, but as near as I can tell, there is no 29-year-old dog in New Zealand. There's a list of the oldest dogs in the world, and none of them
are 29?
Well, there's many that are 29, but they're not.
None of them in New Zealand?
Not in New Zealand. I posted a joke where I put up a picture of a dog that was in very bad shape, and I called it a 29-year-old Solly.
Remind me of the guy who on the Today Show who would, like, say, happy 100th birthday to...
The fat newscaster who lost all the weight.
Before
and now looks,
the
looks
guy
scary.
Who's on there now that also I can't pull his name right now.
First of all, J.K. Simmons was the name we were looking for.
Okay.
Before, but,
he's the peanut M&M.
I don't know what kind of list I'm going to get.
Sir John.
Typing,
real good
typing
or whatever.
Fat black newscaster.
Yeah. Well, you'll do this. We'll get into our first story here, and then you can interrupt me.
In my home, I'm not the boss.
Not really a news story.
With my kids, I'm at a loss.
More of a
my
survey.
My life seems close, but no cigar. I've been
the other
jilted
guy. Al Roker's
by
one now.
My lucky star. Well, thank God.
I love this song.
At least I've got my car.
Since I Love You, You're Perfect Now change.
Okay, everyone.
Off-Broadway musical.
Okay.
It's called Highway of Love.
On my lap, ready when you are. And now, fighting.
When I'm driving, I'm the king of my domain.
Be careful pulling out.
When I'm driving, I'm a beast without a chain.
Oh, slow and not in a hurry.
When I'm driving, I'm a force you can't restrain.
Put on your blinker, people aren't mind readers.
But on the highway of love, she's driving me insane.
All right, 85% of us think we're good drivers. Only 33% of our spouses agree. The average American believes they're a wonderful driver, and I know what you're thinking. Oh, my God, they are not, but I definitely am. A new survey found 61% of us think we're very good drivers, and another 24% think we're pretty good. That's a total of 85%. Only 2% of us admit were bad drivers, but if you ask our husbands and wives, they strongly disagree. Only 33% of people say their spouse is a very good driver. 41% of women say their husband is a very good driver versus only 25% of men, and only 30% of parents say their kids are good drivers. Do you think you're a good driver?
I am an adequate driver.
Okay, so you would say pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I'm a great driver. And then do you think Luna is a good driver?
Look, what are you trying to get me divorced?
She's not listening, is she?
Somehow she'll hear that. She'll hear about this.
It would be so great if
she
logged
Drew.
In.
Drew will get the information to her. I would
Other
say
Paco
that
says
is,
100% of me says I'm a good driver.
She's a competent driver, but she doesn't go on freeways. So I don't know where to put that. I say fuck her is what I say.
So she won't like if a freeway is her moat.
Yeah.
Like she can't cross it. It's not.
She used to, but she doesn't anymore.
She's like a vampire at a threshold waiting for an invitation.
Right. She's been at Disney for 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
I've driven her to Anaheim twice. I said, this is the last time I'm driving you to Anaheim.
That's why you have to chauffeur her, because she will not drive on a freeway.
Yeah.
When was the last time she drove on a freeway? Before she met you?
2015. So it's been more than a decade, I think.
More than 10 years. So,
yeah, yeah.
But at some point,
maybe 20 years ago.
Since you had children, you've seen her drive on a freeway.
No, I'm saying maybe 20 years.
So you have never in your adult life with this woman seen her drive on a freeway? Answer the question, Mr. Lanzini.
You can't handle the truth.
I want the truth.
I jumped my line. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, it's probably been 20 years. So when she first moved out here, she worked in Pasadena and Glendale.
And then she managed it.
She did it, yeah, for a bit, and then it's just not happened anymore.
Have you ever ridden? I'm curious. I'm sorry if this
no,
is,
it's okay.
But I
go on.
Unbelievably, because my wife, ooh, Freudian, disgusting vomit slip. let me say the sentence I meant to say. My wife, ugh, or no? Oh, I did it again. My mother-in-law. Oh Jesus! My mother-in-law has this same syndrome.
Okay.
We'll have her stroke-ridden husband drive 400 miles and deal with the ramifications afterwards and then say, well, the drive is just really hard on him. Bitch, get behind the wheel. Both your legs work. What are you doing? Why is this such – and it's so interesting to me because to me the freeway is the easiest place to drive. Yes, yes?
Well, when it's light to moderate traffic, it is. But when it gets like it was to Disneyland.
But heavy traffic is even easier. But like, here's my point. The only thing you have to worry about on a freeway is merging traffic, right? And sudden stops of like freeway, like, oh, it's traffic. In L.A., freeway speeds are probably 15 miles an hour average, right?
Yeah.
So it's more like just sitting in your car than it is actually driving. There's not a lot of skill involved in driving on a highway or freeway here in Los Angeles.
I'm not sure this is a logical conversation that she can have. I think it's a emotionally based conversation. If she's afraid, she's afraid. So,
but that's what I'm trying to wrap my logical brain. I like how guys do this too. That it's like we say things like it's so condescending but unintentional. It's just in our wiring that it's like you handled that like a fucking ninja. By the way, that was impressive. I was like, oh my god, look at the guy. Look at what he's bringing to the table on that. I wish I could be this dude. And then, but when we take a step back and look at what you said, like, listen, we can't all be rational beings. Some of us are motivated and overwhelmed by our emotions. So, unless you learn to speak crazy lady talk, emotion speak,
right,
we won't understand the answer. This is you know, this is Arkham's razor. Why is that the thing I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
But, but anyway, so so is it the speed? See, this is what's different about you and I, is that you just go, okay, you're afraid, got it, I'll drive you to Anaheim. Me, it's the entire time I'm going to make riding with me to Anaheim more miserable than your fear
yourself.
Of driving it by yourself. That is my objective, so that you will then be able to drive yourself, and then you will look at me and go, you're an asshole. And I go, but I got you to drive by yourself, you're welcome.
Right, right. Well, I think that she doesn't like the other cars. I'm going to get in trouble somehow. But I think that you're saying all you have to worry about is merging. So that you have to worry about them merging.
Yeah.
You have to worry about you yourself merging. So that's two things to worry about.
But that happens on the streets, like the regular city streets. People change lanes, same difference.
You're more likely to talk her out of driving on city streets if you continue down this path.
She's listening going, that's a solid point. He brings up very solid points. Guess what? We could give my car to Griffin.
Right. He doesn't want to drive either.
He doesn't?
No. I'm like, he had all summer to take that test and get some hours in. I said, you're going to wait till the next year, and you're not going to have time to do hours. You'll be too busy with schoolwork and everything else.
I am sitting here slack-jawed.
Yeah, he is slack-jawed.
Because I can't
I stunned him into silence.
I can't imagine being a teenager with a girlfriend and not wanting to have the freedom to come and go as I please with the resistance of my parents. Like, that was my life. As soon I had a car when I was 15 and a half.
Right.
That I would, like a 12-year-old, practice driving in the driveway, just so excited when I could leave. That's how nice things are at your house. Nobody wants to leave.
No one wants to go.
Nobody wants to do any kind of medium to leave.
Right. And I believe, so there's the merging, is no bueno. The stopping short, which I'm sure she hates. And I would hazard that if the freeway cleared up and she could drive not only the speed limit, but as many people do, about 15 miles an hour more than the speed limit, that would also make her uncomfortable.
To have people whipping by her?
Oh, no, to be one of them driving at an accelerated pace.
Like a NASCAR race, just bump drafting with another Subaru in front of her?
Yeah, right.
Well, I think this stuff is wildly interesting about what she's doing. It's far more interesting than what I found in the survey, is what I was trying to say.
Yes.
But I do think it's great that we all think that we're – because I don't think Natalie's a bad driver. I think I'm a better driver, which is why I get so offended when she tells me what to do, because I drive everywhere we go.
I know.
There's a reason why I drive everywhere we go, and it's not because I have a penis and I'm somehow insecure about it. It's because you get to just sit there. And that is the joy of being you.
Right.
Now, there are guys who would much rather have their wives drive everywhere. And it's not about a male-female thing for me. It's just I enjoy driving, and I know that I'm good at it. But she likes to throw in my face that I've been in more accidents and have more tickets than she does.
As does Luna.
Okay, hold on. Luna, if you're listening, fuck that noise, okay? You can't make the man drive everywhere you go and then give him shit, because statistically he is more likely to get in an accident and get a ticket than you are, because I easily put in 10,000 miles more than my wife does. Easy.
Yes.
Without even fucking trying.
Right.
Her commute to work is 5 minutes.
Yes. Luna, too. She's been commuting 1 mile to work or 2 miles to work for 20 years.
So there's no way. You know, meanwhile,
it's a straight line.
You go to Target 4 times in an hour. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You take her work commute and you do it 4 times in an hour. You've got time trials on her commute to work. That's what you've got.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to hit something eventually.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's just odd. You're going to get busted for talking on your cell phone or, I don't know, riding with the kid in a car, not in a car seat. These are just natural tickets that happen.
Going through the stop sign in the 25 mile an hour zone.
I've never gotten a ticket. And here's what's, I want you to know this.
Yeah.
If that happens, I'm going to know it was you. I'm going to know it was you.
What I reported you?
Yeah, that you're going to say, there's some fucker in a blue minivan.
Oh, that's right. I could really nail you down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could easily pop me for a $300. But if you tipped them off, if they needed $300 that bad from a taxpayer, that you could easily call them in and say, there's some son of a bitch cruising through the school, blowing through stop signs.
Right.
And you could give them the time of day I get off work.
I wanted you to walk me through that logic again. 35 miles an hour, you'll come to a stop. But 25, this is how you explained it last time. So I don't understand, like...
I wasn't looking confused like you were saying something that wasn't English.
No.
I'm trying to figure out a way to rationalize to you in a way that you already don't understand. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
About.
No, I just mean the...
I can't just say the same thing I've already said.
No,
like,
true.
It doesn't fucking make sense. There's no... I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, go
There's
for
nobody
it.
There. There's
okay.
nobody... It's like park... It's a fucking stop sign in a parking lot. Who the fuck needs a stop sign in a parking lot? It's a fucking group of parked cars. Just don't hit each other, assholes. How fast could you possibly be going that you need to be reminded of the right of way and stop? If there's a vehicle moving towards you, stop so you don't hit it. That is the law of a parking lot. That is all you need to know. The only governing traffic law we need in a parking lot is the one that says if you're the person backing out and somebody hits you, that is on them.
Yes. That.
It's the other way around. It's like, for some stupid reason, I know because I got busted for this when I was 16. If you're the person backing out, it's on you.
It is on you.
Even if I was 16 years old pulling out in a fucking Geo Metro in Modesto, California with two fucking Ford F-150s on a 48-foot lift kit on these goddamn trucks for these small-dicked rednecks that lived in my hometown. I had to pull out, and some asshole cruising through in an El Camino plows into my hatchback Geo Metro, and I'm the one who's at fault. Mm-hmm. I'm the one because I didn't see him coming. And so now what happens has that now you have to inch out. It's not like I left out either.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Let me explain to you.
No, let me explain one more thing, and then you explain to me. Because now, fast forward 20 years later, some dumbass bitch wannabe actress living in the valley blows her car going the wrong way out of a parking spot, slams right into me head first.
Oh.
Head fucking first.
Yeah.
All her fault. She doesn't have insurance. I got to pay my deductible. So they say, don't worry, Justin. We're going to hit her license for $1,000 to get the money back for you. That's how it works here in California. Well, that's only for a fucking year. If she doesn't have to renew her license or get a ticket in a fucking year, guess what? You're out. Thanks for doing it right. Appreciate it. Thanks, Obama. Not sure why it's his fault. All right, go ahead. What are we going to say?
She just drove without a license or whatever she did. All right. My first accident, I was in California. I was in a parking lot. Mm-hmm. It was a circular lot, but I was blocked getting out the other way. Mm-hmm. So I started back out, and I couldn't see the street. There was a truck parked, so I couldn't see oncoming traffic. You with me?
Yeah.
And so I stopped my car, and I thought, well, I can't see oncoming traffic. The trunk of my car is in the street, but the
the hood is out in the lane, but you still can't see.
But I can't see, and I'm not clear of that front truck.
There's
I've got four feet. Plenty of area. The guy coming in the oncoming traffic was afraid of the car coming the other way, so he ducked into the driveway in order to let the other car slide by him. But I was in the driveway.
So he plows into you.
Yeah. I was sitting still, and he hit me.
And it's your fault.
And it was my fault.
It's a great system we got.
Yeah.
It's a great
system. Like an idiot, I didn't put it on the company I was driving for. I just ate it myself.
Yes. Probably he thought he was 85% a good driver, too.
He was 85 years old. He was 1,000, and he was driving a very expensive car that I'm sure.
He was a New Zealand dog, is what he was. So here's another. Oh, this might be a thing that you also like here. Let's see if this works. Oh, that didn't work. Do you recognize this yet?
No, not yet.
Two kids tunneled their way out of kindergarten. Apparently, drinking milk and taking naps is more stressful than it sounds. Teachers at a kindergarten in Russia recently went into panic mode when 2 5-year-old boys went missing in the middle of the afternoon. I don't feel like Russians are good at panicking. You know what I mean? Like, either panicking is very stoic for them, or they're panicked because these 2 5-year-olds, if set free on the world unsupervised, could overthrow some third world country.
That's quite possible.
Was that fair to say?
Yes.
Was that unfair to Russians? They were outside on the playground and disappeared, which didn't make sense because the whole place was fenced in. So someone walked the perimeter and figured out what happened. It turned out the two of them had spent the last several days using their toy shovels to dig a hole under the fence and tunneled themselves out Shawshank style. It was actually more of an indentation in the ground under the fence. But still, police tracked them down after a woman saw them checking out cars at a Jaguar dealership more than a mile away. Like, it's like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, right.
And when she asked what they were doing, they said they were there to get a quote...
Grown-up car.
They were there to get a grown-up car.
Okay.
For a second, I thought it said they were there to get a quote on the car.
To get a quote. That's what I thought, too.
Both of them are home safe now, and their parents aren't pressing charges, but their teachers got fired for not keeping a closer eye on them? The Siberian Times. Hardcore in Siberia.
Wow. You know what? I'm guessing that's Great Escape music? I don't know.
That is Escape from Alcatraz music is what that is right there.
Yeah, it didn't have enough of a fife in it. I wanted to go back to the...
I should have gone Shawshank. Or is that...
That's fine. Resentment.
Was a friend. What was...
Andy Dufresne.
Andy Dufresne.
A friend. going back to the drivers for a minute, you were saying, why does there need to be a goddamn stop sign in the middle of a parking lot?
I'm with you.
And I'm going to say, because the people driving in that parking lot are made up in part of the women who can't control an auditorium full of first graders. or operate a DVR or a volume knob.
That's a solid point that you bring up. I think that's something that I did not realize or consider. Right. Oh, it's not going to have it here. I had another song that I wanted to play that I did not. Let's see, grab. I know it has to be here. Oh, there it is. Okay, good. This is my new favorite song. Why is it not playing? There we go. Here's something fun.
Yeah.
Kids are the most fun at age 5. I don't like it. And most stressful from 10 to 12. So what they... A new survey asked 2,000 sets of parents that question, and the majority said it's about 50-50 split, which seems pretty generous. Are you really having fun half the time you're taking care of your kids? No. I don't think I'm ever... having fun any like I would say 10% of the time is a win. Fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Survey
the bulk of the time is a push.
Goes to the dealer.
Not necessarily lost.
Yeah, that's a win for them still. I still think a push is a win for them. The survey also asked people how old their kids were when they were the most fun to be around, and the average answer was 5. That's when most kids can finally communicate well, and it's also when they start developing a sense of humor. Meanwhile, the parents in the survey said the most stressful age is when they're 10 to 12 years old. The researchers don't say why that's the case, but it's probably safe to assume it's when they start rebelling and stop doing whatever you say without questioning you. Now, makes it seem like old school because this is... I feel like kids don't do anything you say to ask them to do now, no matter how old they are. But I do agree with
the wrong guy, yes. I mean...
The teenage years, that's 10 to 12 is a no-brainer. Yeah, that's when they're like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I would bump that to 13, maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was there literally like a cocoon like day for your kids?
Well, yeah, the day we moved back into the house after the renovation, you know, Diego went in there. I didn't see him for 2 years.
Yeah, that's when he turned 13?
It was 12.
12,
and
so yeah.
He'd started giving us a little attitude at about 11 and a half, and then he disappeared. And when he came out, he was reasonably polite.
And it was when you guys got back into the house after the renovation?
Once he had his own room,
so did you think it had more to do with that than the age? I would easily wrap my mind around that.
I just knew he needed his space, and he got it.
You guys were in like a more small like.
Well, we were in a 2-bedroom house, so there were 2 adults and 2 growing boys in a single room. And
lots of musk, I imagine, going
yes,
on in that situation.
Yes, I think so.
I would totally.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Chad used to put on a rain slicker when he went to bed, so I'm not sure what was going on over him, but he was protecting himself.
Oh my gosh! I was not. Anyway, that's not worth going into. this story here actually kind of bothers me a little bit. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Hey, what's up? Come on in, dear.
Penny.
Are you talking? My wife is here. What's up? Helps the medicine go down. That's okay. Okay, bye. Good talk, dear. This is my wife's favorite movie, BT Dubs. Making your bed every morning is bad for you.
What?
Lazy people rejoice. There's a scientific reason you shouldn't make your bed every morning. This really bothers me. An article called Why You Should Never Make Your Bed, aptly titled, is making the rounds. It's based on a study that came out in 2005, but most people never heard about it. Basically, the study found it's healthier if you don't make your bed. Here's the science. The average bed has up to 1.5 million dust mites living in it. They're microscopic, feed on dead skin that flakes off your body, and every bed has them. They're bad because they produce allergens that you inhale while you're sleeping, which can make allergies worse or even cause asthma attacks. Here's why making your bed matters. The mites need a warm, moist, environment to survive.
Oh, I'm so hot.
Which is
Dutch
exactly
oven.
What your bed is, because you sweat a lot at night. And who's sweating so much in their sleep? You do?
I have been known to, not lately.
Natalie does. I feel like, I don't know. Everybody should be sleeping naked. Do you sleep naked and still sweat?
No. I don't sleep naked.
Yeah, that's what your problem is.
Yeah.
You gotta sleep naked. The only way you should be sweating is if the fair Luna is also sleeping naked. Then you would find yourself still sweating.
That there would be no
and
sleep.
And probably be down to just one dog. There's one thing over there that you two cannot crush. I don't care how hard you try. And that is the German beast. Notice, I can't remember what its name is now.
Montecore.
Montecore. Okay, great.
That's all right.
And if you make your bed as soon as you wake up, you trap all that moisture in. But if you don't make your bed, it dries out because it's exposed to light and fresh air, which kills lots of dust mites. So the best thing to do is to not make your bed at all Or if you have to, wait until right before you go to sleep to make your bed. Because I like that. I like getting in, pulling the sheets back and climbing in.
I do.
Isn't that pleasant?
I do, too. I just I imagine all the cat hair and fleas that will be.
Oh, you got extra added effort.
Oh, yeah. We got all kinds of. There's a whole.
They did not consider the pet situation.
There's a whole ecosystem. Quite aside from the mites, there's a whole other thing going on.
And I like, too, that you, I'm sorry, tell me if I'm speaking out of school here, but when you guys came over and we learned that the dog doesn't like Luna,
yeah.
You also said one of your dogs had thrown up on the comforter
or
whatever.
Yeah.
And you, at one point you said, your son texted you, Diego texted you to say what had happened.
Right.
And it was so great because you said, I don't imagine that he's cleaned that up. So I'm just sitting here while we're having a conversation. All poor Paco is thinking about is how that's just soaking into the comforter. Yeah.
Is it getting down to the pillow top on the mattress?
Oh, family life is the best, ain't it?
Yes,
it's just so awesome. Here's another fun one.
Go ahead and apologize in advance for what is probably going to be an underwhelming experience for you. FYI, lately I haven't been able to have an orgasm without crying. Just something I've been working on with my shrink. Am I talking too much? This is gonna be awkward.
You're thinking that he's gonna love you and it will be high. You're wondering if he'll love you.
This is called the awkward sex song by Nervous Guy. So there's a new trend on Twitter where people try to come up with a phrase that would instantly make sex awkward, and it can only be 5 words. Here are the 10 best ones we've seen. Number 10, my cats like to watch. Number 9, I learned this in prison. Number 8, I think I love you, which I don't understand why that would make it. I guess if it's new, we don't understand that because we've been in love for so long. Number 7, my ex always did that. I would love to do that to Natalie as a joke. I remember when my ex would do that and just see what it would do to her. Where do I put this? I kind of like Nickelback. What are good kids' names? That is not my name. They say it's not contagious. And my personal favorite, which is also number 1, Grandpa died on this bed. all right, let's see. Is that? Oh, we got 2 more. Do we have time for this? Yes, we do. You're going to love this right here, Paco.
Is it done?
No, it's not done.
Don't overcook it. Overcook it's no good. It defeats its own purpose. What are you doing? I just said don't overcook it. You're overcooking it. Bring it over.
You want your steak?
Bring it over. Bring it over. It's like a piece of charcoal. Bring it over here.
You want your steak?
Yeah, right now.
Good. Here's your steak. Can't wait for it to be done.
No, I can't wait.
Good. Okay? Happy? Happy?
That's all I want. That's all I want.
Here. No more. There.
You bothering me about a steak? Huh?
That's great.
You bothering me about a steak?
Yeah.
That is audio from just last night, Robert De Niro playing the role of Luna.
No, that actually sounded just like her.
Yeah. Robert De Niro does a solid Luna impression. Yeah. 6 ways you're grilling steak wrong. You don't want to leave it in the fridge right up until you grill it. You want it to be at room temperature so it cooks more evenly. According to the head chef at Delmonico Steakhouse in New York, it's the number one mistake people make with steak. I do that. Now I'm going to stop doing that. But I
knew
did
it
that.
Was wrong, but I did it anyway.
You naughty boy, dirty birdie. Number 2, don't put it on until the grill heats up. If you put a steak on a grill that isn't hot yet, all the juices seep out and you end up with a dry, gray piece of meat. Number 3, don't be afraid of over-seasoning it. You shouldn't over-season a burger because it dries out, but you can go to town on a steak. Just make sure you season both sides of it and then season it again after you take it off the grill, which I never did the season after I take it off. Have you done that?
No, I never season it at all. But
do you like this cooking stuff? I find this because I think it's kind of interesting, but I feel like it's also stuff that you like.
Absolutely. No,
don't patronize.
Well, hang on. I definitely want to take that where you probably threw it out already, but
what?
the don't make your bed thing.
Yeah, you want to take that
I
home?
I want to bring that for Luna. And okay. I will take a look at this steak thing. No one in my house will eat steak.
What?
I don't make it right, apparently, so this could really help.
Well, yeah, if here's six ways you could make it in a way that they maybe will still not like it, but still not like it less.
Right, but I will at least know I tried harder.
Don't leave it directly over the flame the entire time. Char both sides of it, then move it to a corner of the grill so you don't burn the outside before the inside cooks. This is, I think, common sense. Don't press down on it with a fork or a spatula. Your primary job when you're cooking a steak is to keep as much of the fat in as possible because that's where all the flavor comes from. You and I know that.
Yeah.
Right? And pressing down. I wish I didn't step on the.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so hot.
Don't leave a steak fresh off the. Don't serve a steak fresh off the grill. Take it off and let it rest first so the juices soak back in the center. Depending on how big the steak is, you should wait about 5 to 10 minutes before you cut into it.
See, that's that I knew too. I knew two of those sevens or six, so I guess I knew.
Yeah.
But then it's cold.
Yeah.
I don't understand the waiting.
See, what I do is I put foil over the top of it, and then I put a bunch of kitchen towels on top of that to kind of create an insulation.
See, you're actually doing something.
But that was mostly to keep it warm while you're busy cutting up the kids' food, trying to have a hot meal, you would.
Right, right. I understand.
Here's what I do know. Yeah. I do know that people really like my tri-tip when I've made it here at the house.
Yeah.
And they kind of go, what did you do with that? I get that, you know, quite a bit. Yeah. And I think it's because my dad taught me this tactic where you cook it to where it's like 135, mm-hmm. and then you put it in an ice chest wrapped in foil, and then it just kind of seeps in its own juices for about – it can sit there for 2-3 hours.
Oh,
as long as you're not opening and closing it constantly.
Right.
He learned that from a guy who cooked at a wedding.
Warm?
Oh, yeah. Hot, like steaming hot.
And then you yell at it while it's in the cooler.
And then it's ready, and then you serve it. Yeah. I'm not sure why I'm yelling at it.
I don't know. Just because you yell at everything.
I do yell at everything. Get ready, you meat! Buckle up! This I love, and we'll end with this. Oh, we got to do Moment of the Week. Idiot me. Every time you move your mind. A teenager thought his car's tape deck was an iPhone dock. A car dealership in Lockport, New York recently had a teenager come in to complain about his Ford. He said the iPhone dock in the car didn't work and it was scratching up his screen.
Oh my God.
But they found his car didn't actually have an iPhone dock. It was an older model that had a tape deck in it. And the kid had no idea what that was. So he kept shoving his iPhone. And didn't understand why nothing was happening.
Oh my God.
Oh, I love the world these kids live in, man.
Yeah, he's going to have a lucrative career in education. He can take care of kids in the auditorium. And
if you want to find this, it's at brobible.com, if I'm not an idiot and I remember, but there's a picture there that you can see in the very bottom. It's a tiny little thumbnail. But isn't that awesome? I just love that it's what kids do.
It's fantastic.
So all right, let's do a little moment of the week, my friend.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
Before I move on, I noticed that our dear butcher Drew said in the chat room that he's a butcher, so he knows a lot about cooking meat.
Sure.
And he finishes his steaks off on an iron skillet just to give it a nice little crust. I have an iron grill, cast iron grill on my grill because I like the way that cooks the meat. So I don't know if that still qualifies me. I feel like that's still a half-assed version of what he does, but I do notice that I like the taste. All right, let's do some Moment of the Week, my friend.
Let's. Okay, here's the thing.
Okay.
I have a proper Moment of the Week.
Uh-oh.
But I will take a little backstory.
All right, I'm listening.
When I was young. No, it doesn't go back that far.
Let's see if we should find some music for this.
It's all right. It's all right. Here's the thing.
This is the closest to the tone you just set up, and it's not right.
Idiot me.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Chad was away for the summer, largely, at a camp thing far off. We had to go get him at the end and bring him to boarding school. And so the four of us had a little time as a family in San Francisco. And you know, going back a ways, I've talked a lot about how my kids go into the room and they ignore me and things have gotten, you know, like that. But worse with Chad at one point, we really hadn't spoken five words to me in a month. You know, it was bad. But so I traveled with him alone to San Francisco, and then Luna and Diego joined us there. And we spent basically 24 hours together, and it was really a terrific time. And there were just no boundaries. Everybody was talking. Everybody was open. Everybody was connected, and it was very special to sit and eat together, which we hadn't done because, you know, they just don't want to have anything to do with us, and everyone is off in their own corner and watching TV or whatever it was. There was no TV. There were no screens. We had no screens going, and we just had a really great time. But it was capped off for me anyway by whiling away the afternoon in the hotel room playing a camp guessing game that Chad had brought with him, you know, that he had played over the summer and which I had not yet heard of before. And it was the adults against the kids at one point. And it's a interesting and fun game. And eventually Luna fell asleep. But before she fell asleep and all four of us were doing it, we were having a lot of fun. Then she nodded
in the
off.
Hotel room, or is this at the restaurant?
In the hotel room. Oh, no, she's just lying in the bed. She's like, we just couldn't guess it. It was like 20 questions from hell. And so she passed out, and I continued, and we were laughing so hard at my inability to guess this thing, tears streaming down her cheeks. And then I finally got it. And
What it is? It's like a 20 questions. Like
it works like this. and I encourage anybody who's hearing this with kids of pretty much any age, you can play it. Just scale it to whatever age they are. But the person who's going to be it, who's going to have something that you need to guess. Comes up with a rule. It doesn't matter. Whatever the rule is, that'll become clear in a second. And so, for example, I'm going to come up with a rule, and I'm going to say that I'm going to the moon, and I am taking a tomato.
Okay.
And then you hear me say tomato, and you might say, I'm going to the moon, and I'm taking lettuce, because they are, you know, associated with one another. Uh-huh. I say, you're not going to the moon. And then I have to say, I'm going to the moon, and I'm taking ketchup.
Because that's another – so yours is still fitting into the rule.
Still is fitting into my rule, and then you make
a
guess.
So I say, I'm going to the moon, and I'm going to bring marinara.
You're not going to the moon.
What the hell?
I
hate this game more than
okay. Right, right. I'm going to the moon, and I'm taking I get bad at this because I've already –
It's
already
your
lost.
Own rule.
No.
Does this mean I win?
No. But eventually, I'd give enough clues, and you would realize that I'm taking red things
to
the moon.
Oh, that was smart to throw me off with ketchup. That's good.
So, in any case.
Oh, my God, that's a ton of fun.
Oh, so, yeah. And so the thing is, and that's a simple way to do it. But, yeah. Of course, my kids were devious and horrible. And they picked something extraordinarily simple, but so demonically tricky that
would it step on your moment to know what it was that you took forever to get?
Well, no, it wouldn't. I will tell you the following things. It went back and they were a team and we were a team. And so they both knew what the rule was and it would just go around and around. So we would get two clues every time it went around and we would get a lot of yeses, but the yeses never made any sense. So eventually, Diego just stood in front of me and he rattled off four things he was taking to the moon with him. And this is the kind of depth of frustration I was in. And we're into it 45 minutes now. He said, I'm going to the moon and I'm taking the sea. I'm going to the moon and I'm taking the ocean. I'm going to the moon and I'm taking a river. I'm going to the moon and I'm taking a lake. And I said, I'm going to the moon and I'm taking a pond. And he said, no, you're not. But I'm going to the moon and I'm taking a puddle. And eventually I said, is the rule that you're going to the moon and taking everything? And Chad said, no, that is not the rule, but I'm going to the moon and I'm taking everything. All right, so.
I think, is my nose bleeding? I don't know what's happening now. But what's his name here?
Yeah.
Josh points out, isn't marinara red? So technically, I could have taken yes, marinara to
okay,
the moon.
Thank you.
You fucker.
No, sorry.
Okay. So not taking everything. So, wait, but he is taking everything.
He's taking everything, but that's not the rule.
Okay.
The rule was they were going to the moon and they were taking words that had an E in it.
stupid.
I know.
I love it.
But and eventually they gave me lots of hints and clues, and I sort of narrowed it down and figured it out. But and it makes perfect sense. And he did that to me two or three times where he would just take a category and rattle off a bunch of things in the category, and then I'd pick something else that I thought, oh, well, this fits right in with those, but it didn't fit in because it didn't have an E. I got them back because this was my rule. Every third guess that they make gets a yes. It doesn't matter what they say. And then I gave my clues.
is that cheating?
No, I gave my clues in groups of three. So I would go, I'm going to the moon and I'm taking a Chihuahua. I'm going to the moon and I'm taking a Schnauzer. I'm going to the moon and I'm taking a German Shepherd. And they're thinking, oh, it's pets. And then they would guess and guess. And then I go, I'm going to the moon and I'm taking a dime. I'm going to the moon and I'm taking a nickel. I'm going to the moon and I'm taking a penny. It didn't matter. I was just using like sets of three. Oh, it was so awesome. They didn't think that my thing was as hilarious as they thought their thing was.
I thought it was pretty hilarious. Yeah.
And eventually, you know, they said things that were so close to what it was, and we just had a tremendous time, and just laughing that hard together with each other at the same time was such a cleansing, healing, bonding thing. I just adored it.
Yeah, that's the part that I imagine can be uber frustrating with teenagers, is that there are not a lot of those opportunities.
Right, and neither of them is five. I'll point out we had a very good time, and neither of them is five.
So you nailed it.
Yeah.
Well, I talked about it earlier this week, but my moment of the week for Jacob is watching his little face light up when I told him he was bringing that dog home. That's something that I probably – if it's going to take a big thing for that to get pushed out of this dad's memory box, because I've never seen him that elated in my life. Like, he was just so – and the way he's been with the dog, he's – you know, again, I know it's a weekend, so – but yeah, just super adorable. With Jack, it was also more of a family thing, but Jack really took to it. We had a bunch of parents over for, I mentioned, the birthday party or whatever, and I realized we don't have a lot to do other than just hang out, so I wanted to get some games and stuff that we could play. So I looked online to see how much cornhole is. You ever play cornhole?
I'd never heard of it until Hudson told me he was going to his friend's house for a cornhole party. I said, hold on a second. Just back it up. Back it up. I need a little bit more detail.
Oh, I wish I was that naive. I would have loved to have had that moment. I wish, excuse me, what?
Yeah, right.
I would love to be 1940s dad and go, you ain't doing no cornhole in this family.
Right, yeah. And what he said was, I don't know what it is, but they say it's a lot of fun.
I get three points if I get it in.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to make it on the board is all I want to do. What? So for anybody who doesn't know, who is also living under the rock that Paco used to live under, you have these boards that are probably at little less than a 45-degree angle, and there's like a maybe a 4-inch hole in the upper like third of it, and you stand anywhere from, I think it's 10 to 25 feet away, and you kind of fling this beanbag at it. If you make it land on the board, you get a point. If you get it in the hole, you get 3 points. I think they also call it bag toss, but the brand name is
that
cornhole.
That would stop me too.
Yeah. No, it's just tossing bags, Dad.
Man, I'm going to a friend of bag tossing toss. Party.
Son. It's called teabagging, number one.
Right.
No, and so we went to the store, and I got like a – it's 3-in-1 hole, which is another party that I'm sure you would have been
– Yes. Less. Hang on now.
And so we were playing it with the kids, and it was like this kind of fun little family four thing where we did Jack and Jacob and his mom versus Jack and I.
Yeah.
And it was great because Jack started practicing, and to watch him like – He got a couple like 3-pointers, which is the smaller hole, and the cockiness in that kid when he nailed it. He can't contain himself. He has to walk with a swag to has to rock his shoulders back and forth, like, yeah, nailed. And then he would go boom and put his hands in the air, which just cracked me up. But this is one that's a little bit more towards Jack specifically that just reminded me of, because he just got a haircut. He went to the hairstylist with his mom.
Yeah.
And I don't know how this came about, but the hairstylist decided to give him a mohawk, or a faux hawk, I guess is a better word. Like, she didn't shave the sides of his head, but she put some like gel in it and spiked it up. And oh my God, he walked in like he was the baddest motherfucker to ever touch that hardwood floor.
Right.
I mean, he just walked in, like my hair, you want to touch it? Go ahead. And then like, but if you touch it, don't mess it up. Like, he's 4 years old, telling me not to mess up his hair. Oh, super weird, but it was really funny to watch. And then he couldn't wash his hair.
Right.
Like he's growing dreadlocks. Like he had to let it, don't mess up my hair. Don't mess up my hair.
Right.
And Natalie thought it was adorable. And I'm like, you know, there's going to be a point when this will be annoying. I don't, right. Natalie never sees the future. Right. She always sees what is right here, right now. And it won't be so cute one day. But right now, pretty freaking adorable. Mm-hmm. All right. So that was our show. Send us an email, show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget, you can listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. Somebody said there as well that you could do a listener moment of the week. Feel free to email those in if you would like. But yeah. I've heard tale that they talk about them on the fan page, which is Staying Frosty with the Dad podcast. That is our very own Butcher Drew.
All right, all right, all right.
Has put together a fan page for you fans to interact with each other. Mm-hmm. And
I see them
times.
There from time to time.
You, speaking of which, what was it? Because it came up as a Facebook alert for something for the Dad podcast. So they had shared, I don't know how they got it, but they've been passing around the video of you filming yourself driving in Hawaii.
Yeah, I sent it to someone.
Which, by the way, in my prep, if it wasn't a video, but in my prep, there's a guy who is filming himself driving a Jeep.
Yeah.
And he backs into a canoe that goes right through his front windshield.
Oh, wow.
That if it would have made sense to play on this show, I'm trying to figure out how I could put it on the Facebook page, but
yeah.
It's pretty hilarious. He wasn't doing what you were. He had a selfie stick and he's staring at himself out the window. Like
right.
a moron.
Right.
You were at least watching the roads.
Yes.
But,
yes. Straight, very straight road.
Yes, you nailed it.
Super safe.
I'm only assuming that for 20 minutes you were framing the shot first. And then
I put cones out. I stopped traffic so I could.
I pulled a permit.
Yeah.
All of our social media handles are in the description of this episode if you want to talk to us on Facebook, Twitter, all that jazz. Paco posts a picture taken live during the show. I had to call_of_Dooley on Instagram.
That sounds right.
And I should probably be saying this off the air, but I've already started it, so I'm going to stop. But I'm looking at a way that we can start periscoping the show live. So
okay.
It's become this new thing. They do it, Gary Hoffman, the guy that does the morning show at KFI where I work, he periscopes his whole show.
That's great.
They can't hear the radio. They just hear him talking into a microphone.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and help him fix that. But the problem that I have is that I think it always shows your exact location when you're periscoping.
Gotcha.
Which is alarming because I do this in my backyard. So not that I don't trust y'all, but
right,
I just don't.
Right.
I think a lot of our listeners are very funny, and I don't know that my wife could deal with a level of practical jokes if people know where I live, is all I'm
right,
saying.
Right.
So I think that's it. On me. Nope. Wait, Paco's going to tell us about our fantastic Amazon banner.
That's right, Davey. Here's the thing. You need to go to the Amazon website by visiting the Dad Podcast website and scrolling down to the bottom. And there you'll find the Amazon banner and Jesus. And when you click through with the help of Jesus, it will take you to Amazon.
Should Did Goliath ever say Jesus?
I doubt it. And there you will bookmark it. And every time you will return there to buy something on that website, you use that bookmark and everything will be sweet. And you will give help to those who need it, which is the right thing to do, Davey.
Well done, dog form of Michael Caine. On behalf of my good friend, Paco Lanzini.
Michael Canine.
Canine, nailed
it.
Get it. Come on now. Oh, at the buzzer. Almost didn't have one of those. On behalf of my dear friend, Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Worship, saying hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.